Okay, so we're gonna do Mother's Day, and it dawned on me after I said that and got into the week. It's like, well, you're not gonna do that, are you, on Sunday? And no, and the Holy Spirit. And then it was like, okay, Lord. So if I'm not gonna do that, well, what are we gonna do? And it's Mother's Day, and I've had an opportunity to preach some Mother's Day messages in the past, but they were very few and very far between in my ministry, because in two men's prisons, I didn't get to preach much on Mother's Day for mothers or to mothers or about mothers for those years that I was in Canada. So I always felt a little robbed. I always like, man, I want to preach on Mother's Day sometime. I want that blessing to be able to do that. And it is. It truly is a blessing to give honor where honor is due. Pastor Dickerson, he made a lot of Mother's Day, and he, if I'm not mistaken, correct me if I'm wrong, my dear wife, he called it almost a sacred office in how he described motherhood. And you know what? I'm with him on that. I'm there with that. I'm totally with him on that. It is a sacred office. It's an heritage. It's something where life is given, and that life is entrusted to someone. And in the early years of a child's life, let's face it, where's Dad? He's working. He's out in the fields. He's not going to, during those early, most formative years of a child's life, it's not so much the father figure as it is who? Mom. Absolutely. And I believe God had it that way. I believe that was part of God's plan. After the fall, he said to Adam, you're going to toil for the rest of your life. And he then said to Eve what he said to her about the sorrow in childbearing. But I believe that the sorrow is also, there's also a blessing there in that she gets to hold that child, nurture that child, and raise that child for quite a few years after that point in time. And even though that umbilical is cut, is it really? No, it's not. And that bond there is something that, as much as I would like to say there's a bond there between the man and the child, and there is, it is different for mom. Ain't it, mom? They're all nodding their heads in agreement. It is. You carried that child. It wasn't kicking my ribs out for 9 months. It was kicking your ribs out for 9 months. You could tell when that baby had the hiccups and when that baby was happy in there or not happy in there, depending on how much it did somersaults in your tum-tum. There's a bond there that's different from the man. Yes, we men, and it's kind of sad on birthdays a lot of times where mom is in recovery or whatever and dad's holding the baby. I remember my wife had a C-section and she's in recovery, and guess who got to hold the babies the whole time at first? Me. And that really wasn't fair, especially what the moms go through during that valley of the shadow of death. You want to talk about a valley of the shadow of death? It's there. It's there, even in the giving of life. But today, what I want to look at, as I thought about today, and I thought about Mother's Day, and I'm thinking of all these mothers, and I'm trying to think of a mother in the Bible, because I want to use Scripture to talk to mothers and talk about mothers, and God gave me not one, but five mothers. Okay? Five mothers. I'm not really good at titles, but I tried to title this one. The five mothers of God's gift
of grace. Who are they? There's five mothers that are absolutely instrumental in God's gift of grace.
And I didn't choose five. God gave it to me, okay? But the number five immediately came up because as I thought about it, the number five is the number of grace. And I'm like, okay, Lord, the number five is the number of grace.
Who are the five mothers? And he led me to these five mothers. And it all fell into place.
That's how God works when a message is being prepared, when it's coming from God.
I didn't get this outline off the internet. Trust me on that one.
Because I was at a loss. Because I've never gotten to preach very many Mother's Day messages. And I was thinking to myself, okay, what, Lord, you're going to have to give this to me. And he did. He gave me five mothers of God's gift of grace. First of all, let's talk about grace. Grace. God's giving us something that we don't deserve. His ultimate act and acts of grace were provided to us. His ultimate acts and acts of grace were provided to us by these five mothers. Okay? Grace, favor, goodwill, kindness. Appropriately, Webster says, the free, unmerited love and favor of God. Free and unmerited. Because let's face it,
we don't deserve it. We don't deserve it. We don't deserve the grace and mercy of God. We don't.
There is none righteous, no, not one. There's none that understand it. There are none that seek after God. So we don't deserve any of this. We don't deserve the blessings that these mothers brought to us and continue to bring to us today. Thursday, I got to visit my mother. And I was blessed to still have my mom. At 80 years old this year, she got COVID. And it was a rough go there for a few weeks. But I still have her. And it was a blessing to be able to sit across the table from her on Thursday and see my mom and talk to my mom. The real blessing about my relationship with my mother, though, is that my mother is a godly woman who raised me in the fear and admonition of the Lord, who trained up her son in the way he should go, and when he turned 18, he departed from it for a time. Okay? For a time. Nevertheless, she did her job. And you know what? I'm thankful for it. I'm thankful for all of you mothers who have done what God has told you to do. With that said, you can't make Christians. Okay? You cannot manufacture Christian young people. The 70s and 80s, the Christian school time, those years, even into the 90s, were a time of manufacturing saved young people. And guess what? It didn't work. Because several generations of young people that went through churches like this, schools and churches, are lost to the world. And I'm thankful for the mothers who have done what God has told them. And you know what? The Bible says, when they are what? Young? Is that what it says? No. It says, and when they are old, they will not depart from it. Never stop praying for your children. Never stop being a mother. The characteristics that these five mothers had, they trusted the Lord. They walked with the Lord. They trained up their children in the way they should go. And that verse, by the way, is Proverbs 22:6. And then in Deuteronomy, in two places, the Bible talks about teaching your children this. Teaching them these commandments so that when they are old, they have a foundation to go back to. They have a reference point. As the world continues to crumble around us, I personally believe that a couple of those generations of young people that walked away from God have a foundational reference. And as this thing around us starts to burn to the ground, you know what my hope and prayer is? They'll return. They'll return. Just like Israel's going to return someday. And that they will return as well. Ephesians 6:4 is talking about raising your children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. But let's get to the moms, okay? Because it is Mother's Day, and let's get to the moms. The first one is found in Genesis chapter 4. The five mothers of God's gift of grace. We would not be here. We would not be alive. None of us would exist without Eve. Number one. We can say what we want about Eve. We can toss her under the bus for listening to her friend, the serpent. We can toss her under the bus for convincing her husband because he hearkened. You got to read the definition of the word hearken. And I don't want to go there today and get off on a rabbit trail on that. But it's you got to read that definition to understand exactly what it's talking about. Because he hearkened unto the counsel of his wife in a spiritual matter. But what I want to concentrate on is the mother of all living. The mother of all living. Notice in verse 4, in chapter 4, verse 1, let's just look at Eve for a second here. The mother of all living. Because she didn't get the name Eve. Actually, go back to chapter 3, verse 20. She wasn't called Eve till after the fall, according to Scripture, the way I'm looking at it. Okay? She wasn't called Eve. She was woman before the fall. She was Eve after the fall. And Adam called his wife's name Eve because she was the mother of all living. Now, look over at chapter 4. And Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain and said, I just bore the deliverer. That's what she thinks. Listen to her words. I have gotten a man from the Lord. Did Cain come from the Lord? No. No. Cain did not come from the Lord. Remember the promise of Genesis chapter 3? And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. In other words, it was a promise to Eve at that point in time, because she's the only one there. It's a promise to Eve that her seed would destroy the one that deceived her and plunged us all into sin. And she looked forward to that, and her first child in her mind was what? The deliverer. I have gotten a man from the Lord. Even after the fall, even after they were driven out of the garden, she thanks God for the gift of that child. I see and hear no bitterness here over the garden. I also see her in a mindset. Let's look at her at this point in time. She wants for her first child to be the one to destroy Satan. That's a good thing, isn't it? That's an honorable thing. And she is going to raise the deliverer. That's what she thinks at that time. That tells you some things about her character, doesn't it? She wants to honor God. She wants the victory to be on God's side when it comes to sin. And she believes this first child is the one to do it. I got to give her a lot of credit here. We throw her under the bus, but I'm telling you right now. And then think of the absolute horror of a mother whose child murders her second born. The one who was to deliver mankind from Satan. The spiritual leader that would push forward and crush the head of Satan. Murders his brother. And she actually loses what? She loses them both. She loses them both. It would be easy at this point in time for her to say, God, you are nothing to me from this point on. Wouldn't it? It would be easy for her to turn her back on God and live the rest of her life in hopelessness and bitterness. This is a difficult thing. I know that there are folks that have family members take another family member's life. But this is all of her kids. She loses both of her children in one stroke of evil. This is a mother that's living through this. Yet, we see some more about Eve a few more verses down the way. This isn't the end of the story. Because in verse 25 of chapter 4, it says this. And Adam knew his wife again, and she bare a son, and called his name Seth. For God, she said she, hath appointed me another seed instead of Abel, whom Cain slew. Number one, she was recognizing the righteousness of her son Abel. She was recognizing who was the real spiritual leader of the two. She was recognizing who obeyed God, did what God said, and lost his life for it. And she says, for God, said she, hath appointed me another seed instead of Abel, whom Cain slew. And it doesn't end there. Because in the next verse, we can see more there, even though it's not there. We can do this. We don't do it enough because we don't meditate enough on the scripture. And here's Seth, which means appointed. And to Seth, to him also there was born a son. And he called his name Enos. Notice this. Then began men to what? Call upon the name of what? The Lord. Cain had gone out from them. He had departed. She lost both of her sons. And Cain brought about a race. I shouldn't use the word race because they were all the same race. He brought about a line of men who did not worship God, who had Cain's attitude towards God. I'm doing things my way. That is the way of Cain. It's my way. or the highway. Look, it isn't my way. It's God's way. It's God's way. That is the way, not the way of Cain. And she raised Seth, and it says, to Seth, to him also was born a son, and he called his name Enos. Then began men to call upon the name of the Lord. Why? Because of a godly mother. Where did they get their foundation to call upon the name of the Lord? From who? From Eve. From Eve, who raised them. I believe that with all of my heart. Even though she is the mother of all living, through the sin of Adam and Eve, it also brought the physical death upon all of us. Yet, the remnant, the ones who would worship God, started with who? With Eve. Eve, the mother of all living. We wouldn't be here today. There wouldn't be a Noah without Eve. There wouldn't be a Noah or an Enoch who walked with God without Eve. She is the first mother of the gift of grace, of the gift of God's grace. Now let's look at the next one. Who do you think that is? Sarah is the mother of the wife of Jehovah. Okay? These all fit into the five mothers of grace. All right? Now, we don't worship these women. Okay? We don't worship these women. They are women that were used by God to give to us grace. Okay? To bring grace to us. And Sarah was the mother of the wife of Jehovah. Who is the wife of Jehovah? Israel. And you say, that's ancient history. No, it's not. God's not done with Israel. God's not done with Israel by any stretch of the imagination. The mother of the wife of the Jehovah would be the one to start the line of what? And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. And without Sarah, we don't have that. We don't have that. Because it is through the line of Israel, it's through the Hebrew people, it's through the Jewish people, use whatever word you want, that Jesus came. God chose a people for his son to come from. And Sarah was the mother of the wife of Jehovah. Turn to Hebrews chapter 11. And I have got to hurry. Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11 is the hall of fame of faith. And there's a lot of men mentioned in here, but guess what? Sarah's one of the women. And there's a very obscure, I'll give you a hint right now. The next one we come to is very obscure, but she's mentioned in Hebrews 11 too. But don't look for her name, because it's not there. Okay? I love to make you think. And I don't want to go to verse 8, because that talks about Abraham. I want to go to verse 11. The context is the faith of the Old Testament believers. Salvation has always been by grace, through faith, plus nothing else. It was that way in the Old Testament. And it's that way today, through the shed blood. In the Old Testament, it was the shed blood of bulls and goats, which was a picture and type of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The Old Testament pointed to the cross. We now point back to the cross. But we all point to the cross.
Amen.
Verse 11. through faith, also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because he judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth.
Sarah had one son, and she raised him in the fear and admonition of the Lord. She is the mother of the wife of Jehovah, and without her, we do not have grace. God used her in order to get us to where we are today.
Sarah, well beyond the years of childbearing, and at one point in time, she actually laughed about it when the Lord mentioned it to Abraham that day under that tree. She stood in the tent door and went,
"Yeah, right. Does he know where I am in life?
I'm way past having kids." She knew that. But here's the thing.
What did he say? "Is anything too hard for the Lord? Is anything too hard for the Lord?" I don't see her looking back after that. Did she make some mistakes? Yes. Did she get ahead of God? Yes. But you want to know something? Isaac served the Lord. Why? He was raised by a godly mother. He was raised by a godly mother
who trained him up in the way he should go. And when he was old, he did not depart from it. And we have the wife of Jehovah today. The next mother. Who's the next mother? I gave you a hint. Who's the next mother? I'll bet you some of you don't even know her name. Her name is very obscure. Turn to Exodus chapter 2.
Jochebed. Who's Jochebed? Who's Jochebed? I'll tell you who Jochebed is. Jochebed is Moses' mother. Do we have grace without Jochebed? No, we don't.
Eve was the mother of all living. Sarah was the mother of the wife of Jehovah. And Jochebed is the mother of the earthly deliverer, who delivers the wife of Jehovah from the slime pits of Egypt. Not only that, she didn't just raise Moses. Who else did she raise? And you would say, she didn't raise Moses. Pharaoh's daughter did. No, she didn't either.
That's right. Amen.
No, she didn't either. Now,
did Pharaoh's daughter have a part in it? You better believe it. Because there's five women in that story too. Two midwives, Jochebed, Miriam, and Pharaoh's daughter that brought grace to us. And that's another message, and I can't go there. I wanted to dig into that one.
There's five more women there, and they're right in the story of Moses. Women of grace. Jochebed, the mother of the earthly deliverer. Jochebed was married to a Levite and was a Levite herself, of that line of the Hebrew people who would be the spiritual leaders and priests serving the Lord. She trusted God and had a child without the midwives. Why? Today, they run to the abortion centers. This woman had a child against the law.
Because it was forbidden by God. And because she knew this child was special.
I believe that was given to her by God. Egypt was ordering the killing of all male children. They would be thrown in the Nile River. She disobeyed the civil authority and followed the Lord, risking her life and the possibility of the life of her family. For 3 straight months, she hid that child until she realized she couldn't hide him anymore. In Exodus chapter 2, it says, And there went a man from the house of Levi and took to wife a daughter of Levi. The woman conceived and bare a son. And when she saw him that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. And when she could not longer hide him, she took for him and did what? She did exactly what Noah did. She built an ark. Coincidence? No. Even the construction is scarily familiar. It was pitched. The ark was pitched. She lined the inside of it. This wasn't something that she put her son in with the idea that it would float down the river and fate would have its way. No. This ark that she made was designed to save, just like the original ark was. Designed to save. It was pitched. It had a lid. It was there to protect the child. She had done her homework. She knew where to put it. It doesn't say that she put it, and I'm skipping ahead for time's sake. It doesn't say that she put it in the river. It said she put it in the flags. What does that mean? That means there was no way that thing was going to get out on the river and be washed away. Not only that, she put Miriam there to watch and see. Do you think it was just a random place that they placed that little ark? No, it just so happened that every single day the Pharaoh's daughter came to that place to bathe with all of her maidens. Coincidence that it was put there? No. No. And it is also known by all the women back in those days, if you couldn't have a child or didn't have a child, everybody knew it and all the women talked about it. Because it was a superstition in those days that if you didn't have a child, God's hand was not on you. And look at all the women that couldn't have children that God's hand was on. Superstition. Nevertheless, do you think that Jochebed didn't know that Pharaoh's daughter couldn't have a child? She knew it. She knew it. And she put that ark there, and God prepared. You know, the Bible says God works in mysterious ways. Read this story and tell me that this don't blow your mind. Jochebed knew that the cry of a child to a motherless child, or childless mother, would suck her heart, what? Right out of her chest. Boom. And lo and behold, Miriam's there. You need a nurse? Who raised Moses? Who raised Moses? Pharaoh's daughter? No. No. Jochebed raised Moses. A Levite raised Moses. Notice verse 11, chapter 2. And it came to pass in those days when Moses was grown. Jochebed had Moses for 7 years. And in 7 years' time, she instilled enough of God into that child so that when he was grown, after maybe 20 years of Pharaoh's house and his idols and all of the things that went with Egypt, even after that, those 7 years of influence on that child as a young child brought verse 11 and 12 about. Never underestimate, Mom. Those first 7 years. Never underestimate it. And it came to pass in those days when Moses was grown. Grew up in Pharaoh's house. But he was raised by Jochebed. That he went out unto his brethren and looked on their burdens, and he spied an Egyptian smiting a Hebrew. One of his brethren.
Who told him that? Who told him that? Who taught him who he was? Who taught him who God is?
His mother.
And you know what else she raised? The first high priest and the first prophetess, Miriam, in the Bible. She raised three godly children who were spiritual giants. They all made mistakes. They were all human.
But without Moses, we don't have the law. And without the law, we don't have grace. We don't have grace. What a heritage to have raised these children. And I said she was mentioned in Hebrews 11. Go there. We got two more mothers and I've really got to fly. But I'm having fun with this one. If I can find it. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 23. By faith, Moses, when he was born.
This verse ain't talking about Moses. Does he have faith when he's born?
No.
Who had the faith when he was born? His mother. No, her name's not mentioned here. But that's who the verse is talking about. Even though it's talking about Moses. Because the faith here is not the faith of Moses that's mentioned in this verse. It's the faith of his mother, Jochebed.
By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his
parents. That's Jochebed.
Because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandments.
Amen. Moms, as the world teaches you to teach your kids all this garbage that's on the internet today, refuse!
Amen.
They were made male and female.
Amen.
Your daughter was born a girl. She's a girl. She's born a boy. She's a boy. And it's not their decision. It was God's in the womb at the time of conception.
Amen. Amen.
Resist. They want to talk about resisting. We're going to do it. Mm-hmm. Christians, resist.
That was free.
By faith, now we're talking about Moses, okay?
By faith, Moses, when he was come of years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, and who can we directly go back to give credit to for this point in time? Jochebed.
Next mother. Turn to Luke. Chapter 1.
The mother of all living, the mother of the wife of Jehovah, the mother of the earthly deliverer, and the mother of the final prophet who prepared the way of the Lamb of God.
Because we got to have John the Baptist. And we don't get John the Baptist without who?
Elizabeth.
There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, and these are
tough days, let me tell you, during the days of Herod. Study Roman history around this time.
For anybody that worships God. There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias of the course of Abia, and his wife was of the daughters of...
Guess who she goes back to? Elizabeth goes back to Jochebed. The daughters of Aaron?
the daughters of Aaron?
She goes back to Jochebed. Her lineage just goes back there.
And his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both, what? Righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord. Blameless. What a testimony. What a testimony. To both of them. And you know the story. An angel appears to Zacharias and said, you're going to have a child. Because guess what else?
Elizabeth was barren. Not for long.
You know, God's timing is always right, isn't it? And the angel comes to Zacharias and he says, you're going to have a child. And Zacharias is like,
really? Do you understand where we are? He kind of said what Sarah said back then.
And guess what? He couldn't talk for a while. Because the angel said,
I'm Angel Gabriel, and I stand beside God in heaven, and your lack of faith, you're not going to be able to talk for 9 months. And he couldn't.
But notice what happens here with those. Look down at verse 24. And after those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived and hid herself
5 months.
Number of grace. Hid herself 5 months, saying, thus hath the Lord dealt with me in the days wherein he looked on me to take away my reproach among men. And then notice over here in verse 39. And Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste unto the city of Judah and entered into the house of Zacharias and saluted Elizabeth. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb. In other words,
the salutation was Mary telling her what the angel had said to her. And when that happened,
she said, and the babe leaped within, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost, and she spake out with a loud voice and said, blessed art thou,
not above, okay, we don't put her on a golden pole down the road on 15, all right, not above, blessed art thou among women. She's just like all of you moms,
okay? And blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me?
She recognizes the Savior.
And then she says in verse 45, and blessed is she that believed, and there shall be performance of those things which were told her of the Lord. Now, I want to show you one other thing about the final prophet's mom. Verse 57, now Elizabeth's full time came, 9 months, and that she should be delivered. And she brought forth a son, and her neighbors and her cousins heard how the Lord had showed great mercy on her, and they rejoiced with her. And it came to pass that on the eighth day they came to circumcise the child, and they called him Zacharias after the name of his father, because that is what Jews do. And who spoke up? Mom did. Because she heard the commandment of God and she's following it to the letter. And she says, no way his name's going to be called John because that's what God told me to do.
Amen. It really wasn't her place to do that because in that tradition and in that culture, she really shouldn't have spoken up here. But you know what? Just like Jochebed said, you know what, I don't care what the king of Egypt says, this is what we're going to do. She said the same thing.
I don't care what tradition says about raising and naming my children, I'm going to do what God says. Amen. And the man who said, behold, the Lamb of God who taketh away the sin of the world was born through her.
And you know why he grew and waxed in strength and became the final prophet? Because of a godly mother.
And the last one is an easy one, isn't it?
Amen.
Mary, the mother of the eternal deliverer, the mother of the second Adam,
also found in Luke chapter 1, verse 26.
And the angel said to Mary, "Thou art highly favored." And my question to you is this: why? Why? Why did God choose her? You know why? Because Mary, as a young woman, walked with God. You go out to these stores, these box stores, these malls, and you look at the young women today, our country is in bad shape, man, because that is what's raising the next generation of kids. Who are going to swallow this gender stuff, hook, line, and sinker, and destroy America.
Not Mary, and I'm sure glad of that. Because without her, we don't have grace.
Mary endured what we don't understand after she was found with child. Because you know what everybody said?
Fornicator.
And she lived with that her whole life. Mary also watched her son die for something he didn't do and accepted it and believed it. Mary raised him. Ah, he's God. Mary raised him. Amen. He's a man as much as he is God. Do I understand that? No, I don't. Mary raised him.
Five godly mothers. And I'm thankful for you. I'm thankful for you godly mothers. And I'm telling you right now, our country's in bad shape because the mothers that are raising our kids today don't fear God. They don't trust God. They don't have faith in God. As a matter of fact, they don't believe God exists, most of them. And I'm thankful for you.